In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
We welcome in James Hamm of the Insiders, 10 a.m. to noon here on ESPN 1320. James, how much fun did you have watching these last two Olympic basketball games?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I think both the men's and the women's game were really, really good, riveting basketball that just shows you that the world is catching up, and that the competition is only going to get more and more fierce. And teams like France, they're coming for you, and you're going to have to figure out what that means in 4 years and in 8 years and in 12 years, because it's not going to be that long before one of those teams around a globe take out Team USA in a gold medal game. And so, yeah, really, really interesting to watch. Like, the just, first of all, Steph Curry and his incredible skill, but also just how everybody else is catching up and how the talent around the world is just incredible.
You think that happens in 28? You think they get caught in 28 or anything else like that? Me and Damon have talked about it throughout the day, and I think that the talent level of the world may be on a platform where it's almost an even playing field. Like, it's a, with your top four or five teams, like, it's an even playing field. At the same time, they better not lose in 28. They cannot medal in 32. That's fine. They better win in 28.
Yeah, it's like, you want to win at home for sure, right? But, like, I don't know. Look around the league, some of the biggest and brightest stars in the league are not from the United States, and you're going to have to figure out ways to replace a LeBron James and a Kevin Durant and a Steph Curry, probably even Anthony Davis. You know, he'd be what, 30, 35, 36 years old in the next Olympics. So you're going to have to really push the next group of players, especially over the next couple of years when you have international tournaments and opportunities for those guys to really take a leap. You know, I talked about it with Kyle earlier on the Insiders. The Team Canada, they feel like when you go out and play rec, when you're playing in a basketball league or you're playing in a softball league, and there's always that young team that comes along that thinks that they're going to club everybody. And then they get out there and they have a ton of talent, but their experience level just isn't there. And they get beat by a bunch of 40-year-old dudes and wondering what in the world just happened. I think that's where Canada was in this particular Olympics. But what are they going to look like in 4 years when most of those players have stayed together and will, you know, have a whole bunch of more international experience under their belt. And what will France look like when it's just Wembanyama and whoever else, but like so much bigger and more athletic and longer than any other player that you're going to run into. So, yeah, I think it's interesting. You don't want to lose in 4 years for sure, but whatever it is, it's coming. You know, what was it? The 61 players from the NBA played in the Olympics this year versus 9 when it was a dream team in 92.
Yeah.
And it's only going to get more and more and more.
Two words, James, to save America. Keegan Murray.
Hey.
Why not? Yeah.
We did what you just did. We went over the roster and we start, this person. And, you know, I know, you know, may not be the best term, as Casey put, but Keegan's in the system, right? De'Aaron mm-hmm. is back in the system. That could go a long way for him in 4 years. But looking at Keegan's age, looking at his skill set and his potential trajectory, yeah, I think it's a possibility.
Yeah, why can't he be at a minimum like the Derek White type player on that team? And, you know, you hope that maybe he develops and he's more than that. But you don't need more than that. Everyone doesn't have to be a superstar. You need players that are just really good.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if, you know, well, I think the Team USA has a lot of work to do though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think your future is Ant-Man and Tyrese Halliburton, but you got to figure out the Jason Tatum situation and how to keep him in the fold. Mm-hmm. Because I think, you know, again, this is kind of how De'Aaron Fox, his experience went in, what was that? Like, was that 8 years ago, 4 years ago? Well, no, it was more than four, right?
It was about 6, 7, 8 years ago.
When was that? I can't remember. I just know I was there watching it unfold and, you know, they played Spain at the Honda Center down in Anaheim, and coming out of that game, he thought he was going to be a major piece. And everyone was talking about him being a major piece to the Olympic team that year. And sure enough, that's not at all what was happening. Mm. He was like Derek White played more minutes than him. He had no guarantee going to Australia. So it was 4 years ago, but they were going to Australia first and then to China. And there was no promise that he would even make the team. And they were asking him to go for, I think it was 3 weeks to Australia while they were, you know, playing like build-up games, and then go to China for a bunch more time. And like the commitment was there until it wasn't there from Team USA, and things got weird. And, you know, he had other things on his summer plans. I would love to see Fox in USA basketball again. He was a USA basketball player when he was in his teens. He was part of the program, but that's why I think they're going to have to figure out what their program is moving forward, because you are losing a group of superstars, and the next group of superstars, look around the league again. Is, you know, Giannis is from Greece and Luka's from, you know, Slovenia, and you got Wembanyama who's coming up, but he's not from here. He's from France. You got all these players that would look really, really good in a Team USA jersey, who just aren't from here, and you're going to be playing them in the Olympics, and just really the balance is shifting so quickly.
We're just talking, but you said China, you meant the Tokyo Olympics. I don't think that was the Olympics.
My bad.
It was the scenario you just laid out. Wasn't that for a world championship team?
No, I don't think so.
That was an Olympic team?
Because
it doesn't seem like, because remember the Olympics was 2021, not 2020. And I feel like I remember De'Aaron using the line of, I want to help break this playoff streak. Was that 2021?
Well, I thought weren't they going to Australia or something like that?
Well, it was Australia first. And then after Australia, they were going.
Yeah, was a 2 week commitment that would have become like a 2 month commitment.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I don't know, for some reason I don't remember it being the Olympics in 2021. I thought it was the World Championships.
You might be right, but
because I didn't think it was that final step. You know what I mean? Where he walked away from. I thought it was the World Cup too. He walked away from that.
Yeah, the scenario James just laid out is where he walked away from it. I just think our timeline on when it happened is a little off.
Yeah.
And it becomes more confusing by remembering the Olympics were in 2021, which leads me to believe that it had to have been 18 or 19 or something like that.
Yeah, it's in my phone somewhere. He was young. That's all I remember. Oh, yeah. Someone's saying it said 2019. Maybe it was World
Cup. So yeah, that's the one so I remember Bagley. I remember that. I remember Bagley, you know, leaving and.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Bagley left first. So they had a week in Vegas. That was a long summer. I spent a lot of time in Vegas. We went straight from summer league straight to Team USA in Vegas and then straight to LA where they were going to play before they left. And it was when Bagley dropped out too. So that must've been the World Cup, in 2019.
That's when Pop thought he got a call from Marcus Smart. He thought Marcus dropped out. He thought Marcus was leaving and he was pissed. And then he gets to practice and Marcus Smart was there. What are you doing here? What are you talking about, coach? I thought you left. And I'm like, no, coach, that was Marvin. He yelled at Marvin Bagley thinking he was Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
And he's probably, who? Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's no big deal.
That was a long time ago.
That's not nice. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, Either way, like, I think having Fox in the Team USA family is a good thing. And, like, and everybody should have an opportunity. I mean, think how if it was 2019... What was he, 21 years old? He had a wedding to get to for his agent, which he was really close to, Chris Gasson at the time. They're still close, but that was his agent at the time. And again, he had no promise that he would even play. And it certainly...
He had no promise he'd make the team.
Yeah.
Killer. Yeah, it's like, hey, come do this and I don't know. We'll see what happens, pal. Like, that's a tough commitment to make.
No, I think so too.
Yeah, but they're gonna need somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're gonna need a couple.
They need someone to go with Book.
Yeah, Book, AE. I think that's gonna be AE's team, Ant Man's team. Maybe it's Ant Man and Book.
I was gonna say it might be Book's team, but yeah.
I think those two are gonna lead. And then we talked about Ja Morant. You know, does he get the call? Does he get a chance to be? With Team USA, guys like Donovan Mitchell are also thought of as well. Chet Holmgren is probably a shoe-in because they're gonna need some big guys.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe it's a couple guys that we aren't as familiar with. Cooper Flagg, we know who he is, but maybe the Boozer Twins or something like that. Maybe and then we talked about: do we find a way to get Steph to come back one more time? Mm-hmm. Do we find a way to get KD to come back one more time? Because, like I said, you got to win this one in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's going to be really tough. I mean, those guys will be, both of them pushing 40. So, and
a 40-year-old just won the tournament MVP. I don't think we've mentioned that at all. We've focused on Steph's heroics. LeBron James was the MVP of the tournament.
Now that to me is wild because Steph was the game changer in the final two,
Yeah, but he was invisible for the first five.
Yeah, that's true.
And LeBron had a triple-double in one of those games.
Did we see the stat where there's only four of them in Olympic play? And
he has two of them. Mm. And Luka's got one. I don't even know who the third guy was.
Probably Oscar Schmidt.
That might have been it.
Maybe. Yeah. And, hey, was there a bigger winner at this tournament than Devin Booker?
Basketball player. Yes.
Yeah, Devin Booker. One of the players.
Yeah, Devin Booker was awesome. I told KC earlier, Hammer, that like my entire opinion on Devin Booker changed with this
completely.
Tournament. Yeah, I thought he was incredible.
No, I thought so too. I thought that you started out with one idea of Devin Booker, and when you cover the league, you hear a lot of things, and I've never been over the top impressed with him as just a person. And to watch him sort of figure it all out. That's what it felt like. And how much are the Phoenix Suns going to reap the benefits from this Team USA run? I think they're going to be tremendous with him. As long as they can stay healthy, man, I just really, really impressed with how he fit, how he played defense, how he took the right role and just thrived. I thought he was absolutely tremendous and really, I mean, changed my mind a lot about like who he is as a player and where he can go.
Oh, what's your nickname for Book?
Good ball player. Oh, D Book.
That's not what anyone who watches this
well,
remembers.
Well, to get the crying and everything, it's like, all right, stop all that crying.
But what was his name?
D Book.
Oh. This is what Asia said yesterday following the gold medal game.
but look, the thing with Devin Booker that I think everybody found out and you know, maybe those who weren't sure got the answer to is he's about winning. Mm-hmm. That's what this thing comes down to. You know, he had to, and others had to figure out how much does winning matter to you, or do you want to be the star? Or do you not happy because you're not the star, or whatever the case may be? And Book answered that question where, like, I want to be a winner. You know what I mean? I am a winner. That's when the chips are down, when it's really time to figure out if you want to be a winner or a loser. Book said, I'm a pick winning. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was great to see from him, man. He did anything that was asked of him to get to a point where that team can be a winning basketball team. And salute to him, man. That was great to see.
That's exactly what I think should scare people if you're going to go up against him this year. It's that he figured out that all the other stuff doesn't matter. And like, look, when you're on the biggest stage, we always talk about like winning an NBA championship's a much bigger deal, right? But realistically, it's not, because you're representing your country. And if you're part of a 12-man team that fails at the Olympics with all that pressure and with everyone watching, like, you don't live that down. Right. It's a big deal to not be on the podium and to not be on the top of the podium. And I think that this was like one of those moments where, you know, maybe there's a couple other guys there that got this same experience, but I didn't see it play out like I did with Booker. Like, again, I think Anthony Davis is who he is, and he's been to the top of the mountain in the NBA. And I think that Anthony Edwards is learning and, you know, got a lot out of the experience and stuff like that. But the one guy where you saw who may have gone from like a really good star level player to potentially a superstar coming out of it is probably Booker.
See, and that's where we probably disagree, because I already thought that's who Booker was.
Book was it? Yeah.
I just thought we got to see who he was.
I think we saw a different side of him.
Yeah. We got to see who he is. Like, I mean, it was an experience that you can grow from for sure, but I don't think he learned anything. I think we just got to see, like, this is what he's about. He about winning and whatever needs to come of that.
Well, yeah, but I don't say it like that. This is the guy who fouled to score 70 in a game that his team lost.
Well, that was also 5-6 years ago.
Well, no, but what I'm saying, but we've also seen Booker be like the score a lot on a loose losing team, and then we this is not Devin Booker's fault whatsoever. We don't really know what this current version of Phoenix is.
No, it's not his fault. But I thought Booker grew, and we found out who he was when Chris Paul got
100%.
And that has been who he's been since Chris Paul got there.
100%.
And for me,
no, I agree. I agree completely.
Hmm. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, it was a great tournament, and now we're just waiting for you to leak the Kings schedule. So, can you tap in with your sources? Because what did we get today? We got something into it. We got the Clippers opener.
We got the two times Boston and Dallas.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Each other. Yeah, they're playing each other. January 25th. I'm assuming that's Martin Luther King Day. I don't know. But they're playing on January 25th.
MLK Day, man.
Well, they I don't know what's going on with the calendar. It used to always be like 18, 19, 20. Now, what do you mean the 25th? Maybe it's the week after. I don't know.
Thanksgiving's damn near in December this year, so I can't keep up with anything.
We got opening night.
I didn't get that either.
Yeah, Knicks at Celtics, Timberwolves at Lakers. And then we got
y'all are doing way too much.
We got Sixers.
You're doing way too much with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
We got Sixers at Celtics, and we did we get the Kings opener? I don't know.
No. I haven't seen that.
Sometimes Kenny laughs at stuff only he knows what he's laughing at. Like, I don't know.
It's in the streets. It's in the streets. That's all I'll say. That's all I'm going to say. It ain't no shade, but it's in the streets. Okay. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. That probably just means someone from 1140 reported it, and he won't just say what it is. So, like, it's
I'm hearing. No, but it's I ain't no hater, man. Look, Frankie said it was they're going to open on Thursday, the 25th, against the Timberwolves.
Here?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're in L.A. So I'm guessing they're in L.A. the 23rd, the Minnesota.
And then on that Tuesday, and then they're here on that Thursday.
Okay.
And that sounds like TNT.
Yeah, it does sound like a TNT game.
To open the season at home.
Okay.
What do you think? How many games, nationally televised games, do you think they get?
Like real ones, or are we doing the NBA TV gimmick again?
Throw NBA TV in there.
Oof, yeah, 90. I think total.
So all of them at this point. I'll go.
What did they get last year? Does anybody remember off the top of their head?
It was 20 something, right?
22 or 24.
And wasn't it like 12 TNTs or something?
Like real like ones.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go less. I'll go 8 to 10 real ones. And then
that sounds right.
20 throw in NBA TV.
And that's once again, that's scheduled because they add and take away games.
Mm-hmm. It happened last year.
Half, yeah. I think they matched them up. Like, I think they took away two and they added two last year. So there's that.
Yeah. I think they're going to be, I would put them at like 14 to 16
real
down
ones?
Like 8 to 10 from last year. No, total. Okay. Yeah,
that sounds about right.
I don't know.
That sounds about right.
We'll see.
I think, and then you got to factor in they were able to steal one last year because they got a.
But didn't they
NBA
lose
Cup?
One? Oh,
that
right.
was on
right,
TNT,
right, right.
So they stole one there. But to your point,
they gained one and lost one.
I think
somewhere.
It happened twice.
Oh, okay.
I think they lost. I can't remember the game specifically. I want to say it was a Houston game or something like that. But
that was
a
year before.
Yeah,
oh.
That's right. But they lost one, and then they gained it back because they got another New Orleans game at the end of the season.
Oh, good. How'd that go for us?
Yeah.
Went bad.
I think they ended with an extra two, and then they lost one this year. So it ended up being like either...
They got the Knicks game, too. The Knicks in New York.
23.
That one.
Yeah.
I'll go out on a limb and say no Kings Pelicans games are on national television this year.
Yeah, Pelicans are going to be good enough.
I think Kings Warriors. Yeah.
Will the Kings Warriors play 12 times before Christmas? That's the schedule. That's the question. Or will the NBA be funny and they'll play 12 times in March? March Madness, Kings Warriors style.
Well, you got to do. Rivalry week.
They're just going to have the Kings and Warriors one after another for a 2-week period in March.
That's it. It's going to be.
I think you're also going to have a bunch of divisional and conference games in the front loaded schedule leading up to the in season tournament.
Mm.
So that's always to me, I don't love that because teams are different early in the year. They're different midway through the year. They're different at the end of the season. And if you play all of your like high level competition from your division, your conference early on, like that's not great because a lot of those teams aren't the same. And then a bunch of teams get to take advantage of a weaker schedule down the stretch when they're playing a bunch of teams that are either hurt or, you know, just haven't put it together. Or maybe they made a trade, all those things.
Do you think is it Emeritus Cup? Do you think that gets over again like it did last year?
I think so.
The end season?
Yeah. Isn't that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
The Emeritus Cup? Yeah. You think the end season tournament gets over
well,
the way
I think it's still the NBA Cup presented by... I think that's what it is.
Oh, okay.
NBA Cup presented by Emeritus.
Okay.
Yeah, so now they're calling it the NBA Cup. Yeah. I mean, right. Yeah, I guess. Okay. Whatever. It's still an in-season tournament, whether you want to call it a cup or or a chalice or a giant bowl. It's still an in-season tournament to get to the end. So,
do you think that it's because it kind of got over last year with the courts and absolutely. The jerseys and.
I think it got rave reviews.
LeBron won it. Do you think it gets over again?
I don't know. I think it was a novelty item. We'll see how it goes. But I thought it was tremendous last year, and I was totally wrong. I thought it would be a mess, and there was too much going on. Mm. I don't like that. The Kings had to play the Pelicans 5 times in the regular season, the Lakers 5 times. All of these, they've got to figure out that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But outside of that problem, I think it'll at least have a little bit more juice to it. But you definitely have to bump up what the value is to the players, because I don't think it will for very long.
I love the idea of the popularity dying, and then Adam's just like, all right, what can we do? Let's take the courts in this. Make neon courts. Everyone plays in the dark with a neon basketball and a neon rim. Let's make this different. All of the you can't really see the guys, the just numbers light up. So all you see is the 30 or the 5 or whatever. Zero.
I do think I think I'm a little bit more excited about it than maybe others, right? I think they did a great job with the courts. Something as simple as the courts that let you know, because we were at that first NBA Cup game at Golden 1 Center. It was energy. There was vibes
different.
In there.
Yep.
Because it's something as simple as, the court means this. It's one of them games.
It looked different.
Yeah. And I think I'm a big believer that if something's on the line, whether it's the fans or the players, things get ratcheted up. And I think that's what's always going to it may sound stupid or whatever the case may be, but if you got a chance to win something, they're going to turn up.
Yep.
And I think that's what's always – and if the players are turning up, the fans are going to turn up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of that, it's always
– In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's gonna be what it was, like what it was last year. Like, it wasn't the story of the season or whatever, but it kind of accomplished its goals. It got us through the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was something people watched when otherwise they wouldn't really care about the regular season. So I think it'll continue that way.
And it helped create narratives. Boy, the Pelicans didn't take that seriously. Look how they got to change things. Boy, those Pacers, they got their King James still winning. Like, it created all of these things that you could talk about for a month or so, or leading into the All-Star game, before you start focusing on player stuff, and that's important too.
Real quick, sorry, James, but the roughest part was probably the Final Four, because all the vibes that you had in these home arenas when you got to Vegas, while Vegas was a great place to have it, like, the arena wasn't.
Yeah, didn't care.
Yeah.
They didn't care.
So.
Yeah, but I still, like, you've got to add some sort of bonus. Like, I like the idea of the winner, or maybe the final two, they get to, especially if you're having it be like East versus West in the finals, I think the final two teams, or at least one of them, should get an automatic bump up in the standings, or a bump down in the lottery. So if you're the sixth seed, you get in, win the tournament, you get an automatic bump to the fifth seed. If you're a team that had a great tournament, but then like everything goes wrong and you end up as like the number eight pick in the NBA draft, you bump up to seven. And that's just like, I think doing, you have to incentivize it somehow, almost like Major League Baseball did with the All-Star game, where the winner of the All-Star game, it gets home court, home field advantage in the World Series.
I thought that was ridiculous, to be honest with you.
That was ridiculous.
I do see what James is cooking up here. We'll come back. We'll talk more with James Hammer, the insider, specifically. We'll talk about DeMar DeRozan and what he'll look like with the Sacramento Kings. That's all coming up here. Dealing with KC on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. James, we know you're really big into the Drew League. What did you think about DeMar DeRozan's 54-point, 11-rebound performance in a 25-point comeback victory yesterday?
Yep, can't wait to see it in the regular season. No, I mean, this is good.
DeMar dropped 54 and 11 this season in a Kings uniform. Gosh. That statue is going to be at the Golden 1 Center the next day.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think this is, it's good to see him out there playing. I mean, you're watching the other guys playing in the Olympics. This is good. It's good for him to be out there competing and having a good time and staying healthy. I think it can only translate well, especially he's just showing that he still is highly impactful, even though he just turned 35.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those guys. He's a professional bucket getter. He's going to be that way forever. You know what I'm saying? As long as he's going to play, he's going to be a guy that's going to be able to score at a high, high level. Obviously, the Drew League isn't the NBA or isn't even Olympic play. But much like Steph Curry, much like LeBron James to a certain degree, DeMar DeRozan at 30, like we said it earlier, 35. Not slowing down.
Yeah, just turned 35.
Not slowing down at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can go out there and play with guys that are 22, 23, 24. He's still going to do what he does. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that bodes well for not only this upcoming season, but maybe the length of this contract.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, DeMar DeRozan is going to be a guy that's not, I believe, he's not going to fall off a cliff once everything is done. He's going to be still formidable and a big part of what the Kings are trying to do throughout the duration of these 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, look, they signed him to a 2-year deal with a 3rd-year partial guarantee. And that partial guarantee goes up considerably if he hits certain benchmarks, but I think it starts at like $10 million. The perfect world is that DeMar DeRozan is the same player today that he is the same player in 2 years that he was today, and that he hasn't shown major regression, or if his regression is there, it's so small that you really can't, you know, that you're still on board with him for at least one more season. And maybe even more than that. I mean, there's nothing that says he can't play to 38, 39, 40 years old. I mean, we're seeing it all day long in the NBA. So I kind of want to see where he's at midway through the season. Again, he has plenty of time here. We're talking about it's early August. He's got plenty of time before everyone starts rolling into Sacramento, and just about like, I don't know, four, five weeks. Some guys get there earlier. Some guys have been here all summer. But you want him to like have a couple of weeks here to take a break, make sure he's rested and relaxed and ready to play. But I think he's going to be a tremendous asset to this team, both on and off the court. I think he'll be one of those leader guys that they've been looking for, that maybe has the ability to push this team further than they have been.
What's the number one thing you think he brings to the Kings right out the gate?
I think it's his playmaking, whether it's for him or it's for others. Like, I think that's the biggest thing. Like, I thought the Kings, when Malik Monk got hurt last year and Kevin Huerter got hurt, they just did not have the extra playmakers to make the whole thing work. And it put so much stress on De'Aaron Fox to convert from being a primary scorer slash, you know, distributor to more of a distributor. It put a lot more stress on Domantas Sabonis. But at the same time, it just made the Kings a lot more guardable. And I think having a guy that can create for himself, can pull up from anywhere on the floor, and who can also average 5+ assists a game and create for others, it's just huge. And so that would be the biggest thing that I think that they're going to like the benefit of him. I also think just his voice. He is like one of those guys that walks in the door and everyone's listening, a lot like Vince Carter was. But Vince Carter was showing up, you know, 4 years later in his career than what DeMar DeRozan is. And I think DeRozan is still at such a high level that his voice will carry more weight, because it's not just a voice in the locker room or a voice on the sidelines. It'll be a voice on the floor. And I think it's something that this team probably could use a little bit more of.
And I said it a lot when the signing went down, but just I think, not that maybe they need it, I don't want to say that, but the level of discipline that he brings, that everybody will be able to see, you know, to be able to stay locked in on whatever task is at the time, right? Whether it's trying to make the playoffs, trying to be a better player, trying to stay with your workout resume, making sure that you get in early, you know, all this, whatever he does, he just seems incredibly disciplined with it. And I think that's gonna rub off on these guys, man, and it's gonna be infectious. It's gonna almost have the same type of like I said, I don't want to be too dramatic with it, but remember when the famous story of Kobe leaving the hotel to go work out.
My guys were coming
while they were coming in, and then they were like, "Oh, well, I want to make sure I'm working out at 5 and all this other stuff." Like, whatever DeMar is doing to make sure his body is taken care of, to make sure he's getting his work in, and once again showing that discipline, I think it'll rub off. I really do.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, again, like the last 5 years, that guy has been Harrison Barnes. You know, Harrison Barnes is the one who leads the group to chapel at 6 o'clock on every game night. So whoever goes to chapel, it was always Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes is a guy who's out there setting the example in the community and doing programs for, you know, Boys and Girls Club or, you know, the savings account program that Harrison Barnes does for kids, where he's teaching kids who are in underprivileged homes how to start saving and how to use a bank account and all that stuff when they're really young. I think DeMar is going to be, I don't know what his programs, what he believes in off the court and all that stuff. Because we haven't covered him. He hasn't been in our community doing things like this, but you need that voice that means so much more than just basketball, but who can still legitimately play basketball. And again, I think it's a huge deal. Like, we talk about this all the time. It's one thing to go out and get a defender that you guys just, everyone thinks is such a great defender, but if he's not good enough to play, 20 something minutes a night, then it doesn't really matter that you have him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, hey, it's great, he's a good defender in practice, but if it doesn't translate to him being a good basketball player, then that doesn't help your team. And it also sort of takes away from what his voice might be. And I think when you have a player like this who walks in the door and has all the street credit possible and just can go get you a bucket at any time, can save the day where you don't have to overly rely on De'Aaron Fox or Malik Monk in crunch time. Like, this is a player that, like, we'll see how it works out, because there's no guarantees that it's just going to be like Kismet and they're just going to take off and be a better team than they were last year.
Yes, it is.
Well, I hope so. But like at the same time, we never know until it actually starts playing out on the court and what it looks like. And so I definitely think that, like, I would rather see this team with DeMar DeRozan than without. And I think it's a huge upgrade over what they had last year, specifically as a basketball player. But also, I think the voice in the locker room is going to be an upgrade as well over just the group of players they had last year.
Do you think, I asked Casey this earlier, do you think the 20-point streak continues, the 20-point-per-game streak that he has? Do you think that continues?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think it's 24, but I wouldn't be surprised if he hovers around, like, you know, maybe a 20. Little under 21 points a game, like, all season long, like right around that, like 20.5 mark seems about right for him. Although, like, look, I don't know that he'll have all the opportunities that he has in previous stops. And I also, you know, you got to look at the Bulls situation the last 2 years where he had such a huge usage rate and was relied on so heavily as a scorer. And that's because Zach LaVine was hurt, like, again and again, and they didn't have the other scoring punch and they needed him to be that player. So I want to see what, you know, what the Kings need him to be. And then I also think that there needs to come a point where, you know, it doesn't matter how good DeMar comes in as a 24-point per game scorer. He does need to make sure that he's bringing Keegan Murray along with him, and trying to hand off some of his scoring to Keegan as we get, like, through the season and into next season, as you're trying to grow a secondary player.
I feel like DeMar is going to have the opportunity to kind of come and go as he pleases with his aggressiveness as a scorer. Like, he may look at a couple of games where he's like, Fox got it going today. Monk is cooking. You know, Keegan is cooking. I'm good with this 15, you know what I mean, or whatever the case may be, the 11 shot attempts or something like that. And then he's going to say, oh, man, they need some scoring. They need somebody to create. Then he's going to go for 29 or something like that, really force the issue. And that's something that he didn't always get the opportunity to do in Chicago. With the injuries and because it was a younger team and things of that nature, he had to carry it. But I think the type of individual that he is, the type of basketball player that he is, I think he'll revel in the opportunity to not have to score 30 every time out or anything else like that. And he'll be able to, like you said, okay, let me make sure Keegan is cooking and he's doing his thing and having a good game tonight. And I think that's just going to benefit everybody, man.
Yeah. I mean, again, you never know until they get on the court. But like, I really like the addition. I like what he brings to the court, and I like that, you know, you sort of see the window and it motivates everybody else to say, hey, look, if we're going to make some big push here, it's gotta be right now. There's no more waiting around to see if this team melds together. And it also puts pressure on management and ownership. Like, look, this is the window that you just purchased. You just bought yourself a 3-year window with DeMar DeRozan by putting out some big time cash. You might need to do it again. You might need to find other ways to improve this roster as the season goes on. And hopefully they have the backing to do that. Although, you know, again, they are up against like the hard cap at like 78 million, 178.
I think one good thing that we were talking about earlier is how this team has guys where you feel like they're focus. Like De'Aaron talked about how difficult it was for the season for him, how difficult it was for him for the season to end this year. We know how competitive Domantas Sabonis is. We know how competitive Malik Monk is. And we saw even yesterday in the Drew League how competitive DeMar DeRozan is. The Kings have a lot of guys who, you know, it's cool to want to win, But man, it's a little bit something different when you hate to lose. And you talked about following examples of like DeMar DeRozan, for example. You will do everything that he does just because you see that he's a winner. You don't want to lose. And I don't think there's too much of a reset, despite the fact we have questions about that two spot in the starting lineup. You know, Keon is so young in the game, and as a two-way player, he's still trying to find his place in the league. And I feel like it just really boils down, if Kevin Huerter is all in on the Sacramento Kings and whatever his role might be, that could be massive for Sacramento, because I'm still of the belief that Kevin is really, really important to this team, regardless of what Mike decides to do with that starting two position.
Oh, no, I totally agree. I mean, if you're going to go out and you're going to get a guy like DeMar DeRozan, who, it's not that he's a horrible three-point shooter, it's just he doesn't shoot the three that often, and you're going to pair him with Domantas Sabonis, who, again, actually was a really good three-point shooter this year but didn't shoot enough, mm-hmm. The spacing is going to get funky. And having a guy like Kevin Huerter who draws a crowd, you know, who you're always going to have to track and keep an eye on, there's not going to be a time where, well, I mean, again, it just depends on how they structure that starting lineup. Like if you start Huerter, there's not going to be a ton of shots for Huerter. There's not going to be a ton of shots for Keegan Murray in the starting lineup. But that also means that either they're going to get wide open looks when they do get looks, or the other team is not going to be able to go and double team a bunch of players. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal. You know, if you don't have to send a second body at somebody, it really does open things up and allows players to play a lot more free and the spacing and movement to be a lot better.
And see, I think that's what's going to happen. I agree with you, James, that you want spacing and stuff like that, but I think that's going to be the case kind of regardless. You know what I mean? Like they're going to have so many guys that play at a time, whether it's Kevin Huerter, Keon Ellis, like all of them can shot make, can catch and shoot and hit and things of that nature. Like, who you going to double team? You going to double team Fox? You kick it over to Keon or Malik or DeMar DeRozan? You going to double team DeMar? And DeMar's going to, we talked about his playmaking, he's going to find an open Keegan or Kevin or Malik or something like that. Everybody's going to get an opportunity, even though the spacing might not be ideal all the time. They're going to have opportunity to go one-on-one. And we're talking about some guys who are professional bucket getters being able to go one-on-one. That's going to be a winning matchup for them a lot of the times.
Yeah, I want to see how the two-man game is with him and Sabonis, with DeRozan and Sabonis. I want to see if that's something, especially since DeRozan is such a good passer. I also, you know, just like the overall feel of the team, does it feel like everyone is sharing? Does it feel like everyone is pulling one direction and with one goal in mind? And they should be, because they're all under contract. They're all under contract together. For a considerable amount of time. Like, most of these guys are under contract together for like 3 years or more. So they should all be buying into the system and to each other and feeding off each other, not worrying about stats and, you know, again, accomplishments off the postseason awards. Those take care of themselves. And the most crucial thing to any like statistic that you can have is how many wins did it lead to? And that's something that I think gets lost. And it's something that De'Aaron Fox has always said, like, hey, the second we start winning is the second I'll get recognized for the stuff that I do on the court. And it's true. But I also think that like this team has an opportunity to be really good, especially offensively. Like, this could be one of the elite offenses in the NBA for sure.
Yeah. And that's something KC said earlier. This team doesn't feel like it has a lot of flaws in it, like especially offensively. You can do this stupid complaining about rim protection all you want to on the defensive end, but offensively it doesn't feel like this team has a lot of shortcomings. It really is just a matter of if and how it all comes together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what you're going to want to see, right? Like, does it come together quickly and they're all of a sudden this juggernaut again? Or does it look really good for like a month and then all of a sudden they hit a lull where when things start to go a little south and they're not all connected? Like, you're really wondering. And that's why I think not last season, but the season before was such a surprise, because those guys weren't together. Like, that team was newly formed. Even you know, Sabonis had come over at the trade deadline, like, but he only played a few games, 15 games or whatever it was with Fox, and Trey Lyles came over during that trade deadline. And then you added Monk and Herter and Keegan Murray. And so realistically of your core, your main, you know, five, six guys, like four of them, five of them had just got there. Mm-hmm. And, well, let's see, outside of Fox and Barnes, they had all just got there and they found instant chemistry and were able to go. So can you repeat that aspect where you find instant chemistry with a few different pieces and just find success? And I don't know the answer, because I thought there was no way that that team would hold up and keep playing that way all the way through the season. But sure enough, they did. And they got better after the All-Star break and all that stuff. Now you got to see if you can do that again, if you can figure it out.
Yeah. And you'll have that training camp that you didn't have when you first got Sabonis. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of did all that on the fly. Mike Brown wasn't even here at that time. Like, you didn't have like an established program going on at the time. And it still looked like night and day. So now you're able to get this training camp in with DeRozan. And, you know, you talk about the time these guys spend before training camp, coming into town and playing and getting used to each other. Maybe it offers a better opportunity to hit the ground running than, like, when you first mentioned, like when Sabonis first got here.
Yep. Yeah, it should be intriguing. Again, year three of a head coach and a system, you should know exactly where you need to be. And anyone who doesn't, I mean, again, first of all, DeMar DeRozan played for Jay Triano as his first head coach, and that's who's running your offense. He knows Jay Triano's terminology. And so I think a lot of that, you're going to see a lot of like crossover here where he picks up on the system relatively quick. He's also played for a bunch of head coaches and a couple of franchises. You know, he's got a really strong idea of who he is as a player. So he should be able to fit in. And like, I would assume that this thing should be pretty seamless. But again, until we get to October 20th or whatever it is, and the ball goes up in the air, we have no idea what it's all going to look like.
DeMar seems like a basketball, like, junkie. Like, he was tweeting through all of the Olympic games. Obviously, he was in the Drew League. He seems like a dude who just genuinely loves the game of basketball.
Hell, they might need him in 28.
Well, we'll make it a team of 40-year-olds. Get Steph and DeMar and KD, and why not?
Man.
Well, it is in L.A.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Compton, you know, baby.
Come on, man. Come on now.
I do have a pair of those Compton Kobes that came out for DeMar.
I mean, when you're D-Lo, you get those type of exclusives.
It's not an exclusive. It was literally before Kobes were impossible to buy.
I know. That's what he'll lead you to believe.
I know you ain't talking. God, you could be so obnoxious when it comes to this stuff. Will you stop? Well, James will work on leaking the King schedule throughout the week. I imagine it's coming out this week. Like, so much stuff is leaking out. The Olympics are now behind us. Pretty soon, the NBA is going to be drowned out by the NFL. So
my now, guess is Wednesday.
Now seems like a good time.
Yeah, I think Wednesday is going to come out.
Which means officially come out, and by then we'll have like 40 of the games. We'll have like the national TV games. We'll have the MLK Day games. Mm-hmm. We'll have the tournament games. And then we'll have home openers for like 20 arenas around the NBA.
The first Friday that ESPN.
Yep. Well, the national TV games.
Opening week.
Gotta have that. Rivalry week.
The last TNT game, regular season game.
Can I also, it comes out Thursday.
Oh.
We're being told that. Deuce just texted us. It comes out Thursday. I feel like he wanted to include idiot at the end of that. Like, that's probably public and we just didn't know it. Comes out Thursday, you two idiots.
Yeah, it's usually Thursday and we we'll know digest everything it Thursday and Friday. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey,
we might know more in the coming 24 hours. I don't know.
Head over to maptrition.com. Use the promo code DELO1320 at checkout for 10% off your order. Whether you're looking for protein shakes, whether you're looking for greens, whether you're looking for something to help you sleep, help you burn fat, help you curb cravings. My man Greg has got all of that over at maptrition.com. Again, use the promo code DELO1320 at checkout. Make sure you're locked in with the insider. James Hamm tomorrow, beginning at 10 a.m. here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Gigantes, for real, for real. Let's go.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.